Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Yes, we are back this week talking about the financial implications of the coronavirus on Formula One teams. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Fergal. Hello everyone to episode 185 of the Fastest Lap Podcast. After a bit of a break, we are back as we decided that we now have enough news to record another episode. And as we said in our last episode, with Formula One currently in shutdown mode, we do not want to continue our weekly release schedule, but produce an episode when there is something to talk about. Well, now there is. First of all, we do have another race postponement, and it's the Canadian GP, and basically the GP was planned to go ahead in June, but they decided that, well, we are now in April, and you can foresee already that things will not be back to normal in June. So what's the next race after Canada that's planned? I think it's the French GP in Paul Ricard, Fergal, right?
It is, but it's quite likely that that too will be postponed following certain announcements from the French government today about gatherings and such. So it's probably to be expected that that race will be called off. Of course, the 24 hours of Le Mans has been already postponed. I would imagine that France will get postponed too. I think what may end up happening is, I think after France, it's then Austria. It's all just very unknown right now, what the first race will be, if there will be a first race of the 2020 season.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too, but, you know, right now it's not really looking too great, but we'll see. But yeah, France is next up, but I would imagine that race will be called off pretty soon. And I think when the announcement came that Canada had been postponed, it wasn't really much of a surprise to many people, especially with so many races before that had been called off. It was always going to be quite likely, you know, given that Canada's position on the calendar is 2 months or so away. It was always likely that was going to be called off as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's pure speculation, and of course, everyone needs to wait and see how things develop in the world. But I can, from what I think, I don't think we'll have any race before the original schedule for the Belgium GP, like after the summer break. I do not think that we will see a race before that. Of course, there was talk about maybe then they could start the season in Europe already, but with no fans on basically in the grandstands. But still, there are so many people in the paddock, and I personally do not think that we will have a season before the official summer break ends. Do you think that?
It's very difficult to know because, like you said, it's all just speculation, and it's kind of hard to predict how the virus will, grow from its current situation. But, Ross Brawn has said that that even if there were to be no fans in the grandstands, if all the same team members travel to all the races, they would be quite a confined group. The risk would be somewhat lower. But I think whatever way the season pans out, I mean, at the end of the day, F1 needs 8 races to make it a championship, to make it by the rule book. So we need 8 races this year, and Brawn says that they can have 8 races if they start the season in October. It could be such a different and such a weird season that we'll get, because I imagine even if we do get something underway, And if they're planning more than 8 races, that it will be likely that they will have 2-day weekends and you know, stuff like that, which I think might actually be pretty good. I'm not sure if I mentioned this before in our last episode, but it's a good, I guess, time to if we do get the chance to go racing, to experiment with different race formats, because we know they've been discussed at length in the past. There's been, you know, we've had the same format for quite a while now, and there's been talk of switching it up and doing things differently. And it would be a great thing to have, like, a 2-day weekend, for example, where, I don't know, the opening day you have 2 practice sessions in the morning to late morning, and then afternoon you have a qualifying session, and then the next day you go racing. You know, it would be really cool to try something out like that. But as for now, at this point, there's little to guess over, and it's kind of pointless guessing over it. You know, we still could have 8 races, we still could have 15 races, we still could have 19 races, or we could have none. So yeah, right now it's still quite early on.
Yeah, at this point I think every fan would just be happy to have any races in 2020. But not only the fans, but I also think a lot of teams, or maybe all teams, would really prefer to have some more races in 2020, as of course a lot of money is involved in the staging of a Formula One Grand Prix. And of course currently they are in shutdown mode, as the factory shutdown that's normally scheduled for the summer break is now currently in place. I think they even extended that factory shutdown. I don't know. I think it's now longer than what it would have been in the summer break, or is it?
It is, yeah. Originally, the summer break shutdown is always 2 weeks. And then when the shutdown was brought forward, it was set at 3 weeks, so it was already longer, but that has since been expanded to another 2 weeks has been put on top of that, so altogether it's 5 weeks now, 35 days, which, yeah, of course is quite long, but I mean, given the current circumstances, it's, you know, the factories wouldn't really be open anyway, I don't think. There wouldn't really be a lot of work done, I imagine, so yeah, nothing really that can be, or not, the teams are not doing much right now. I think Ferrari, their factory shutdown that they scheduled, I think will expire in like 2 weeks or something. I think they're the first that will be able to get back working. So yeah, but I mean, when you consider that we might not have a first race for quite a while yet, it's yeah, it makes sense to both have it now, have it at this period, and to extend it as well, to ensure the good health of all the staff members.
And I mean, racing teams basically survive by earning money from racing, like basically the prize money, but also the sponsorship payments. And well, both is tied to the number of races, I would guess. How many how many races is a sponsor logo on the car? How many races do they participate in? And with less races on a calendar, there is a hole to fill for many Formula One teams, especially for those teams that are not called Mercedes, Ferrari, or Red Bull. And I think everyone apart from them, maybe McLaren is also not that endangered, but all of the other teams, I would guess, they are struggling now, as they do not have the income from sponsors, and maybe even sponsors want to cancel their agreement as they are in trouble themselves. And yeah, I don't know what the situation is, but I think, have you heard anything whether some teams have already requested some help of maybe the state, or is there some kind of layoff of workers? Is there anything you know?
Well, I know the UK teams have signed up to government schemes that ensures payments for staff workers. I know Renault has done it, Williams has done it. So yeah, it's, I mean, we know how money in Formula One is, how important it is, and how it's dominated the or how the sport has gone over the last handful of years. So obviously F1 is working to ensure that isn't the case in the long term, but you know, that vision that F1 wants to achieve of a equal playing field with both money and everything, you know, that still isn't implemented right now, so smaller teams are suffering as a result. Yeah, like I said, sponsors having troubles themselves could end up pulling out. It could have a very lasting effect on F1 teams. But
yeah, do you think there's a danger of Mercedes or Renault pulling the plug as a big manufacturer, as for example Daimler or Mercedes? They've stopped producing any cars in Germany, for example, and they might be in trouble for themselves.
It's very difficult to know, to be honest. I mean, there definitely is a danger of F1 teams dropping off the grid and not recovering from this crisis, and I think it's up to F1 now to ensure that doesn't happen. It was Zach Brown that said that F1 could lose up to 4 teams because of this, and you know, if the grid was to drop down to what would that be, 12 cars? I mean, that would be just it's unthinkable for that to happen. So yeah, it's like I said, it's still very early on in this stage, but if companies are losing money, and I think what F1 might have on its shoulders to go forward with is its plan to ensure that level playing field. I mean, if there was no talk yet of budget caps and working to make sure that smaller teams get more opportunities to fight at the front, which will result in more prize money, etc., I think F1 would be in a very different situation, where it would right now be a very real possibility that we could lose teams. But maybe the fact that we know that we're working towards equality and equal opportunities for teams, you know, it might encourage those teams to stick around. But it just does depend on how much this crisis hits them, and if they are forced to pull out in the short term because of a lack of money. And if that's the case, you know, they don't have a choice if they find themselves in that situation. So but I really, really hope it doesn't come to that, like I'm guessing all F1 fans.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, they are talking about this budget cap, they are working towards a solution, but I mean, the budget cap for 2021 is still pretty high for smaller teams, and I think they even requested, or at least from some sources you heard, that smaller teams are requesting a budget cap of around 100 million. Bigger teams say, well, maximum 150, but well, even with that, there is a bit of a dispute going on, and well, the question really is on what sum do they basically agree on in the end. But I think there needs to be a solution rather quickly, right?
Yeah, of course, but I think most teams anyway have agreed to 150 million for the budget cap, reducing that down. But of course, I mean, the smaller teams want to get it down to as little as possible. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously not enough for those smaller teams. That, I mean, when the budget cap was set at 175 anyway, the smaller teams such as Williams and Haas and those, you know, said that they weren't going to be spending 175 million anyway. You know, they weren't going to be getting close to that figure. But it's like the lower that goes, the more it benefits them, and the more it will hurt the bigger teams. And it's really, I mean, it's really up to the bigger teams to, you know, get to that compromise of, well, do they want to be able to spend as much as they have, or do they want to make decisions in the interest of the sport and ensure that more teams are there on the grid to race? Because like I said, it would be really, really hard to see even just one team drop off the grid because of this. So yeah, we'll see.
Well, with no real racing going on tracks around the world, we do have the start of many kind of esports events, also with real drivers. We talked about that in one of our last episodes, also with the, what is it called, the virtual Grand Prix, I think that's the official event from Formula One. But also we do have separate events in iRacing. We do have this kind of all-star races. And you do have a lot of known names in there with Hülkenberg, Verstappen, Leclerc and Albon. So many of Formula One drivers and ex-Formula One drivers participating in those races, and also then using this opportunity to stream the races with face cam and everything on. Maybe they learned from Lando Norris, as he's now quite a famous Twitch streamer. But at least from a marketing perspective, I think it's good for Formula One and basically racing in general that there's still something going on, and that there is something for people and motorsport fans to watch. And I have to say, with some iRacing events and maybe even some of the virtual Grand Prix events, it's actually quite okay. You know, the commentary is not that bad. They do have professional commentators there. Of course, sometimes you have to say it is a game, and TV director, let's call it like that, does not always have the best shots available to them. But for the state esports is currently in, I think, and I have to say, I quite enjoyed those virtual races to just watch them. Have you watched any of the virtual races, Fogel?
Yeah, I've watched a few. I mean, out of all of this, if there's one area that has seen massive growth, it's esports, especially in motorsport, because it's, I mean, it's crazy the amount of stuff that's going on, not even in F1. I mean, IndyCar, for example, has done an incredible job of doing esports. They have a race every week with 25 plus IndyCar drivers competing in the up-to-date IndyCar, and yeah, I mean, it's a great.
What are they racing on? iRacing?
Yeah, on iRacing, and with like the official IndyCar graphics that they use for TV, it's really, really cool, really well produced, and you know, F1 could really take something from that. But yeah, I mean, esports is going so well, and to see, there was a stream the other day, where there was like a charity has been set up called, it was like Race for the World, it's called, and there's like two races every few nights, and I think the next one is either tomorrow night or Tuesday or Wednesday night of the week that this episode is uploaded, and it features, you know, George Russell, Alex Albon, Leclerc, those kind of guys, and just to kind of sit back, relax, and watch them just joke about and take digs at each other is, it's really fun to watch, and it provides a bit of fun, a bit of laughter in what is a very difficult time for everybody. The racing might not be as heart-pounding and as exciting to watch as real-life racing, but it's nice to see that there's some effort being made, and I still find myself inclined to watch it, which means I must like it. it's cool to see. And I think, yeah, a lot of people will be ordering their own steering wheels and iRacing memberships and stuff like that, so it's good to see that the area is booming and that we have some racing to watch while this is all going down.
Yeah, exactly, absolutely. So that's a positive thing. Before we end this week's episode, and who knows when our next episode will be up, of course, as I said, when there's more things to talk about, we want to mention that sadly, we have to report that Sir Stirling Moss passed away. I'm not quite sure when he did that, whether it was today or the last couple of days. But yeah, with him, Formula One lost one of, or a pretty famous figure, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's often regarded as the best F1 driver to never win a world championship. That's a tag that people often give to him. Just a really incredible career. 66, I think, F1 race starts and 16 race wins, which is more, he's more race wins than 51% of F1 world champions, which is kind of crazy considering he doesn't have a world championship himself. He raced for many, many years, even after his F1 career. He stopped racing in F1 in 1961, but even after that, for decades and decades after that, he was racing in different things, different historic races, certain appearances like that. And
who actually won the championships in the years he was racing?
He raced in very early on, so his full seasons, the champions would have been, your Fangio, Mike Hawthorns.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Fangio came to mind.
Those drivers. He pretty much raced in the mid to late 50s. For any driver to come through that period, a Formula One alive, was a miracle in itself, because we know how dangerous the sport was back then. But he won a lot of course, non-championship F1 races were very popular back then, like extremely popular. I think there was more non-championship races in a season than there was actual championship races, and he won a lot of them as well, and got a lot of podiums, but they don't really count on the record books of the Formula One championships. So raced in Le Mans a few years, came second a few times. An all-round amazing racing driver that dipped into different areas of motorsport and that really made a lasting impact. I mean, the fact that he was brought up, even before his death, he was brought up every so often in conversations about motorsport, and even for that to happen, how many, 60 years after he retired from F1, really, really incredible career. But I think he has been quite sick for the last while, and unfortunately he did pass away at the age of 90, but he will be very sadly missed.
Yeah, sadly missed, and of course he will be remembered. Well, that's everything for this week and for the last couple of weeks that we wanted to talk about. Of course, there are a few virtual races coming up, so enjoy them if you want to watch them. But other than that, until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye.